Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 4, The Process of Creation, Text 20. Shriya,
Shriya,
Hatir,
Hatir,
Yagya,
Yagya,
Hatir, Praja,
Praja,
Hatir,
Hatir,
Diyam,
Diyam,
Hatir,
Hatir,
Loka,
Loka,
Hatir,
Hatir,
Dara,
Dara,
Hatir,
Hatir,
Gatish,
Chandaka,
Vrishna,
Vishne,
Sattvata,
Prasidata,
Me, Bhagavan, Satam,
Pati,
Shriyapatir, Yagyapati,
Prajapatir,
Diyampatir, Lokapatir, Dharapati, Patir Gatis Chandaka Vrishni Sattvatam Prasidatam Me Bhagavan Satam Pati Shriyapatir Yagyapati Prajapatir Diyampatir Lokapatir Dharapati Patir Gatis Chandaka Vrishni Chatsatvatam Prasidatam Me Bhagavan Satam Pati Shriyapatir Yagyapati Prajapatir Yampatir Loka Patir Dharapati Patir Gatis Chandaka Vrishni Sattvatam Prasidatam Me Bhagavan Satam Pati Shriya,
Shriya,
all opulence, Pati, the owner, Yagya, of sacrifice, Pati, the director, Prajapati, the leader of all living entities, Diyam, of intelligence, Pati, the master, Lokapati, the proprietor of all planets, Dara, earth, Pati, the supreme, Pati, head, Gati, destination, Cha, also, Andaka, one of the kings of the Yadu dynasty, Vrishni, the first king of the Yadu dynasty, Sattvatam, the Yadus, Prasidatam, be merciful, may upon me, Bhagavan, Lord Sri Krishna, Satam, of all devotees, Pati, the Lord. Translation. May Lord Sri Krishna, who is the worshipable Lord of all devotees, the protector and glory of all the kings, like Andaka and Vrishni of the Yadu dynasty, the husband of all goddesses of fortune, the director of all sacrifices, and therefore the leader of all living entities, the controller of all intelligence, the proprietor of all planets, spiritual and material, and the supreme incarnation on the earth, the supreme all in all, be merciful upon me. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. And this is quite a purport, actually. It's a bit more than 3 pages, so please listen carefully. Try and be attentive. Since Shukadev Goswami is one of the prominent Gata Vyalikas, Gata Vyalika men, above all pretensions. Anyway, okay. Okay. Yeah, Gati. Anyway, all right. Since Shukadev Goswami is one of the prominent Gata Vyalikas who are freed from all misconceptions, he therefore expresses his own realized perception of Lord Sri Krishna as being the sum total of all perfection, the personality of Godhead. Everyone is seeking the favor of the goddess of fortune, but people do not know that Lord Sri Krishna is the beloved husband of all goddesses of fortune. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said that the Lord, in his transcendental abode, Goloka Vrindavan, is accustomed to herding the Surabhi cows and is served there by hundreds of thousands of goddesses of fortune. All these goddesses of fortune are manifestations of his transcendental pleasure potency, Haladni Shakti, in his internal energy. And when the Lord manifested himself on this earth, he partially displayed the activities of his pleasure potency in his Rasa Leela, just to attract the conditioned souls who are all after the phantasmagoria, pleasure potency, in degraded sex enjoyment. The pure devotees of the Lord, like Shukadev Goswami, who is completely detached from the abominable sex life of the material world, discussed this act of the Lord's pleasure potency certainly not in relation to sex, but to relish a transcendental taste inconceivable to the mundaners who are after sex life. Sex life in the mundane world is the root cause of being conditioned by the shackles of illusion, and certainly Shukadev Goswami was never interested in the sex life of the mundane world. Nor does the manifestation of the Lord's pleasure potency have any connection with such degraded things. Lord Chaitanya was a strict sannyasi, so much so that he did not allow any woman to come near him, not even to bow down and offer respects. He never even heard the prayers of the Devadasis offered in the temple of Jagannath, because a sannyasi is forbidden to hear songs sung by the fair sex. Yet even in the rigid position of a sannyasi, he recommended the mode of worship preferred by the gopis of Vrindavan as the topmost loving service possible to be rendered to the Lord. And Srimati Radharani is the principal head of all such goddesses of fortune, and therefore she is the pleasure counterpart of the Lord and is non-different from Krishna. In the Vedic rituals, there are recommendations for performing different types of sacrifice in order to achieve the greatest benefit in life. Such benedictions as the results of performing great sacrifices are, after all, favors given by the goddess of fortune, and the Lord, being the husband or lover of the goddess of fortune, is factually the Lord of all sacrifices also. He is the final enjoyer of all kinds of yajna, therefore Yajnapati is another name of Lord Vishnu. It is recommended in the Bhagavad Gita that everything be done for the Yajnapati, yajyartat karmana. For otherwise one's acts will be the cause of conditioning by the law of material nature. Those who are not freed from all misconceptions, Vyalikam, perform sacrifices to please the minor demigods, but the devotees of the Lord know very well that Lord Sri Krishna is the supreme enjoyer of all performances of sacrifice. Therefore, they perform the Sankirtan Yajna, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishno, which is especially recommended in this age of Kali. In Kali Yuga, performance of other types of sacrifice is not feasible due to insufficient arrangements and inexpert priesthood. We have information from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, that Lord Brahma, after giving rebirth to the conditioned souls within the universe, instructed them to perform sacrifices and to lead a prosperous life. With such sacrificial performances, the conditioned souls will never be in difficulty in keeping body and soul together. Ultimately, they can purify their existence. They will find natural promotion into spiritual existence, the real identity of the living being. A conditioned soul should never give up the practice of sacrifice, charity, and austerity in any circumstances. The aim of all such sacrifices is to please the Yajnapati, the personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Lord is also Prajapati. According to the Katha Upanishad, the one Lord is the leader of the innumerable living entities. The living entities are maintained by the Lord, Eko Bahunam Yovididati Kaman. The Lord is therefore called the Supreme Bhuta Brit, or maintainer of all living beings. Living beings are proportionately endowed with intelligence in terms of their previous activities. All living beings are not equally endowed with the same quality of intelligence, because behind such development of intelligence is the control of the Lord, as declared in Bhagavad Gita 15:15. As Paramatma, Supersoul, the Lord is living in everyone's heart, and from him only does one's power of remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness follow. Mata Smriti Jnanam Apanam Cha. One person can sharply remember past activities by the grace of the Lord, while others cannot. One is highly intelligent by the grace of the Lord, and one is a fool by the same control. Therefore, the Lord is Dhyanapati, or the Lord of intelligence. The conditioned souls strive to become lords of the material world. Everyone is trying to lord it over the material nature by applying his highest degree of intelligence. This misuse of intelligence by the conditioned soul is called madness. Hare Krishna. One's full intelligence should be applied to get free from the material clutches. But the conditioned soul, due to madness only, engages his full energy and intelligence in sense gratification. And to achieve this end of life, he willfully commits all sorts of misdeeds. The result is that, instead of attaining an unconditional life of full freedom, the mad conditioned soul is entangled again and again in different types of bondage in material bodies. Everything we see in the material manifestation is but the creation of the Lord. Therefore, he is the real proprietor of everything in the universes. The conditioned soul can enjoy a fragment of this material creation under the control of the Lord, but not self-sufficiently. That is the instruction in the Ishapanishad. One should be satisfied with things awarded by the Lord of the universe. It is out of madness only that one tries to encroach upon another's share of material possessions. The Lord of the universe, out of his causeless mercy upon the conditioned souls, descends by his own energy, Atma Maya, to re-establish the eternal relation of the conditioned souls with him. He instructs all to surrender unto him, instead of falsely claiming to be enjoyers for a certain limit under his control. When he so descends, he proves how much greater is his ability to enjoy, and he exhibits his power of enjoyment by, for instance, marrying 16,000 wives at once. The conditioned soul is very proud of becoming the husband of even one wife. But the Lord laughs at this. The intelligent man can know Who is the real husband? Factually, the Lord is the husband of all the women in his creation. But a conditioned soul under the control of the Lord feels proud to be the husband of one or two wives. All these qualifications as the different types of pati mentioned in this verse are meant for Lord Sri Krishna. And Shukadev Goswami has therefore especially mentioned the pati and gati of the Yadu dynasty. The members of the Yadu dynasty knew that Lord Sri Krishna is everything, and all of them intended to return to Lord Krishna after he had finished his transcendental pastimes on the earth. The Yadu dynasty was annihilated by the will of the Lord because its members had to return home with the Lord. The annihilation of the Yadu dynasty was a material show created by the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, the Lord and the members of the Yadu dynasty are all eternal associates. The Lord is therefore the guide of all devotees, and as such, Shukadev Goswami offered him due respects with love-laden feelings. Shriyapatir Yagya Pati Prajapatir Diyam Patir Loka Patir Dharapati Patir Gatis Chandika Vrishni Sattvatam Prasidatam Me Bhagavan Satam Pati. May Lord Sri Krishna, who is the worshipable Lord of all devotees, the protector and glory of all the kings like Andaka and Vrishni of the Yadu dynasty, the husband of all goddesses of fortune, the director of all sacrifices, and therefore the leader of all living entities, the controller of all intelligence, the proprietor of all planets, spiritual and material, and the supreme incarnation on the earth, the supreme all in all, be merciful upon me. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharne Niravishesha Shunyavadi Bastitya Deshatarne Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Paditanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. So this verse, I don't know if any of you remember, this verse is a favorite of His Holiness Krishnadas Swami Maharaj. From time to time, he would quote this verse. Yes, because it's a nice verse. Of course, every verse is a nice verse, but this is very, very focused on the Lord and His glorious, incomparable position in all different ways. So it's a very nice meditation, and in each of the different sort of positions of the Lord mentioned here as Shriyapati or Yajyapati, Prajapati, etc. There's several. Each of them could be the subject of a class. No problem. This verse could be the subject of a book. There's a lot here. There's really a lot. And it's interesting how Srila Prabhupada, the perspectives that he takes when describing them in the purport, Shriyapati, he's the owner of all opulence. And Srila Prabhupada, in discussing that, particularly refers to how he is the lord of all the goddesses of fortune. Shri Akanta Kanta Parama Purusha Kalpa Taravo Bhumi, what is it? Bhumis Chintamani Gana Maitoyam Amritam, something like that. Yes, Shri Akanta Kanta Parama Purusha. He's the Supreme Person who is the Lord of all goddesses of fortune, and he's there in Goloka, surrounded by all these goddesses of fortune. And even, so Prabhupada elaborates on that in the beginning of the purport, but the gopis are described there as being like super goddesses of fortune, not like your, so to speak, ordinary goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi in Vaikuntha. Those gopis in Vrindavan, they're super goddesses of fortune. And ultimately, the supreme of them, of whom many are parts or reflections or parts of parts, that supreme of all the super goddesses of fortune, that is Srimati Radharani herself. And particularly she is so uniquely great in that sense that when we see, for example, in Gopal Tapani Upanishad, there's a description there of Durga Devi, and she's described as being an expansion of Srimati Radharani, but she's described as being like a particle of one of the rays from one of Srimati Radharani's toenails. That's her position. Durga Devi, who is so prominent in this material world, and who at least the materialistic people, those who are following some form of Karmakandiya, they're very focused on. They refer to her as Mata Ji or Mata Di. Yes. And they worship her because she is the presiding deity of the material energy, and therefore is supplying everything they want. But as a minute particle of one of the rays from the Lord's lotus foot, one of the toenails from Srimati Radharani's lotus foot, and even her position is somewhat perverted, well, they lose sight of her real position and her real nature. They think that this is our mother, but they seem to forget that our mother is riding on a tiger or a lion with all different weapons. And yes, to chop up the people who are absorbed on the material platform and trying to enjoy the facilities which she is the controller of within this material world. So the in Goloka Vrindavan, Lord Krishna is being served by hundreds and thousands and hundreds of thousands, and actually an unlimited number of super goddesses of fortune. Later on in the Bhagavatam, in one of the purports by our BBT commentators, They quote one of our acharyas who says that in Goloka Vrindavan, that the number of gopis, he says the number of the gopis in the closest circle around the Lord is something like 7 billion. The closest circle. What to speak of other circles? 7 billion gopis. Here, Srila Prabhupada made the point that that when the Lord manifested himself on this earth, he partially displayed the activities of his pleasure potency in his rasa lila, just to attract the conditioned souls. He also partially displayed it, and Prabhupada mentions, in marrying 16,000 wives in Dwarka. And of course, generally people, when they think of that 16,000 or 16,108 wives, they think this is something stupendous or just not true. But for the Lord, the closest circle of gopis is 7 billion. So what, 16,000, you know, 16,108, it's just, I don't know what it is. Is it, it's like 0.2 of 1%, is it? Anyway, it's really a small number. Yeah, really a small number. So the Lord, when he comes, he exhibits his pleasure potency via the gopis, via the queens in Dwarka. But it's just a limited manifestation, partial display, just to attract us. And of course, Srila Prabhupada makes the point and emphasizes the point that the relationship between the Lord and the gopis or the queens in Dwarka, this is a display, of course, of his pleasure potency, Ladini Shakti, but one should not be confused and think that either that it is manifest, the Lord's interaction with his pleasure potencies, either that it has something to do, that their relationships have something to do with mundane sexual relationships between men and women, nor should one think that the relationships between men and women in this material world are some sort of valid manifestation of the pleasure potency. These things are so different. And to emphasize this, Srila Prabhupada makes the point here in the purport, how strict Lord Chaitanya was as a sannyasi. So strict. Ladies couldn't approach him even to offer respect. And he would, in the Jagannath temple, there were ladies called Devadasis who were actually devotees, very sincere devotees, at least in those days, who had just given up everything to serve the Lord in the temple. Now, of course, you know, to some degree that practice goes on, but it's now become degraded. But in those days, those very saintly ladies would just give up material life, come and live in the temple, and serve the Lord by singing for him, dancing for him, like this, and rendering other services. So their singing was not a manifestation or some type of just material enjoyment, some sort of pop singer or whatever. like who's it? Anyway, we won't get into it. But some sort of popular singer. And of course, there are sufficient of them nowadays. And some of them may be fairly expert, technically speaking, in singing. Or even maybe dancing in Bollywood movies and things. But it's just a material display. And Lord Chaitanya was such a strict sannyasi. He wouldn't even hear these Devadasis singing very devotional songs in a truly devotional mood. His example as a sannyasi and the standard he displayed practically universally was one of extreme renunciation in all respects, including and particularly in regard to ladies. You may know there was the one incident where Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri actually heard one of the Devadasis singing for Jagannath, and it was truly very beautiful. Meaning, just like excellent singing voice, and in a mood of true devotion, singing some song of genuine transcendental love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya heard it. And because of the nature of the singing, because of being so beautiful and so particularly so devotional, Lord Chaitanya just became overwhelmed. And he went running to find the singer. And he wanted to embrace the singer, because the singer was just singing in such amazing ways. But Govinda chased after the Lord and caught the Lord and said, "My Lord, it's a woman." And Lord Chaitanya came back to external consciousness and he told Govinda, "You have saved my life." Yeah. So that's not to sort of denigrate or minimize or anything like that the service of such devotees, but still Lord Chaitanya in his particular mood of sannyas was so rigid and even you could say quite extreme in these regards. However, as Srila Prabhupada points out in the purport, Lord Chaitanya said very openly that the prime first class manifestation of pure devotional service is the devotional service of the gopis. And he himself saw himself as a follower of the gopis. When Lord Chaitanya, just after his father passed away and he went to Gaya to perform the last rites and he met Ishvara Puri and was initiated by him and then started manifesting Krishna consciousness. When he came back and he was teaching his students in his Sanskrit school, he would sometimes just start singing the names of the gopis. And some of his students would complain sometimes. Yeah. So yes. And he himself said, "Who am I? Naham vipra na chanarapatir, napi vaisho na shudro, naham varani." Anyway, so many things. I'm not this, not that, not Brahman, not a sannyasi. I'm none of these designations, so who am I then? I am Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayor Dasa Das Anudas. I'm just the very little Anudas Anu is the Sanskrit word for atom, the smallest little particle. So I am the little, little servant of those who are the servants of the Lord, who is not Yajnapati, Prajapati, or Lokapati. Who is the Lord? Who is he seeing the Lord as? Gopi Bhartu, the master of the gopis. So Lord Chaitanya, he had very great interest in the relationships between the Lord and Srimati Radharani and the other gopis. Great, great interest. To the point that with Ramananda Roy and other of his very intimate associates in Jagannath Puri, he would basically have them, Ramananda Roy, Swarup Damodar Goswami, he would basically have them just recite Radha Krishna pastimes, descriptions of Krishna's amazing qualities, particularly those related to conjugal pastimes, the qualities, characteristics of Srimati Radharani, just all day, every day. And he would just become completely lost and overwhelmed in this transcendental world of the pastimes of Krishna with the gopis. So that was Lord Chaitanya, and it's also Shukadev Goswami. These verses here are spoken by Shukadev Goswami. The chapter is titled The Process of Creation, but it begins with a whole lot of verses. Actually, Suta Goswami makes the point that when Shukadev Goswami began to speak about the creation of the material world, before he actually began speaking about it, but when he sort of was launching into the whole program, that first Shukadev Goswami offered prayers to the Lord. Very beautiful prayers. And this is one of those prayers and what you've been reading the last so many days and will continue on, is Shukadev Goswami. He's going to be speaking about the process of creation, but he's glorifying the Lord in so many ways. And traditionally, this is the process of offering prayers. We see even in the first canto, when Ashvatthama released the Brahmastra weapon to kill Maharaj Parikshit in the womb of Uttara. The description there is that Uttara saw the Brahmastra approaching, and she knew what is the business of this Brahmastra. Somehow she understood that it's aimed at me, and it's aimed at the child within my womb. So she appealed to the Lord for protection. Please save me and my child from this. But she didn't just start calling out, help, save me. And she offered prayers and glorification first. You are like this, you are like that. You are so wonderful. And please, save my life and the life of my child. Yeah. Not just some desperate panic. Help. So here, Shukadev Goswami is doing the same thing, but at considerable length. The chapter's called The Process of Creation, but there's very little about the process of creation in it. It's really, I would say, practically entirely just his prayers. Yeah, I want to discuss these things. I want to discuss these things. So, Prasidatam me, Bhagavan Satampati. Every verse, at least these, some of these verses here, he is either offering respects or like the verse yesterday, Vatarkya Lingo Bhagavan Prasidatam. May that Lord be merciful to me. Prasidatam may Bhagavan Satampati. May Lord Sri Krishna be merciful to me by empowering me so that I can describe him very nicely. So that's the first point, Shriyapati, that appears in the verse and that Prabhupada addresses in the purport, that the Lord, as the possessor of all opulence, it necessarily includes that he is the Lord of the goddess of opulence, the goddess of fortune. Yes. Nowadays, of course, it's popular, at least in Hindu circles, to worship Lakshmi, and your traditional South African Hindu will have on the altar in a very prominent position a lamp which they may refer to as Lakshmi. Am I right? I think I'm right. So Lakshmi, yes, we want Lakshmi. We want fortune. We want good fortune. So Lakshmi, we place her there. And somehow she is approached via the lamp. But of course, a very important point in that respect is that Lakshmi, not only is she the goddess of fortune within this world, but Lakshmi is the wife of the Lord. And not just the wife, but she is the topmost of all wives, the most faithful and chaste and dedicated of all wives. She is the example. And, you know, sometimes in the weddings, the priest tries to give some sort of blessing that this young lady who's being married today, may she be such a good wife like Lakshmi. And, you know, if that is actually the expectation, then I think there may be some disappointment. Even if she tries her best. But to be the equal of Lakshmi as a wife, that's a tall order. But the point is that Lakshmi, as the perfect wife, she never leaves the company of her husband. And for her to accept some person as an object of her favor, independent of her husband, is not possible. It's just too far removed from possibility to be considered at all. So the people try to worship Lakshmi in this way or that, independent from her husband. And therefore it's not surprising they're not very successful. They don't get a lot of mercy from Lakshmi Devi. So therefore she has to be worshipped with her husband, who is Shriyapati. And then Prabhupada goes on, the next quality or facet of the Lord's nature is that he is the director of all sacrifices. And Prabhupada expands that very nicely. Because in the verse it says Shriyapati, that we talked about, Yajnapati, master of sacrifices, and then Prajapati. Prabhupada connects them together in the verse that you are the director of all sacrifices and therefore the leader of all living entities. That's interesting, isn't it? You are the director of all sacrifices and therefore you're the leader of all living entities. Otherwise, you could separate the two. The master, director of sacrifice, leader of the living entities. But he's saying, no, you are the master of all sacrifice, therefore you're the leader of all living entities, because, as Prabhupada mentions in Bhagavad Gita, in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord explains how in the beginning of creation, the Lord of all creatures, described here as Lord Brahma, although elsewhere described as Lord Vishnu, sent forth generations of men and demigods and told them, be happy by the process of sacrifice, because through sacrifice you'll achieve everything for living nicely within this world, but then you'll go back to Godhead also. And this is real human life. When people in human bodies do not engage in the service of the Lord as Yajnapati, the master of all sacrifices, when they're just living independent materialistic lives, just trying to extract pleasure from the material energy without sacrifice, this is not really human life. And therefore they're referred to as Purusha Pashu. Purusha Pashu. Man animals. Man, because they've got human bodies, but animals, because their programs are the programs of the animals. Eat, sleep, mate, and defend, and not the programs of real human beings. So what is the program of a real human being? Is sacrifice. Yes. So, and of course, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada emphasizes that because the devotees know that Lord Krishna is the enjoyer of all performance of sacrifice, they perform Sankirtan Yajna. In Kali Yuga, other types of sacrifice are not feasible due to insufficient arrangements and inexpert priesthood. Occasionally you see, even I've seen in Vrindavan, an advertisement for Ashvamedha Yajna. Yeah. In Vrindavan I've seen advertisement, Ashvamedha Yajna. They're having some Ashvamedha Yajna in Mathura, apparently. And, you know, of course we didn't go, but basically Ashvamedha Yajna means there's all sorts of different things that are done, and then they kill a horse. Hari Bol. So, and of course in previous ages, when such sacrifices could be performed, the horse would be revived and get a new young horse body. But I think in that Ashvamedha Yajna, I don't think the horse got a new body. Hare Krishna. It's a bit of a miserable situation. So yes, so the Lord is Yajnapati, and on that basis, He can be understood to be the master or the leader of all living beings, of all human beings particularly. Because human life only really begins with the performance of sacrifice. If a person is living in this world without sacrifice, then inevitably they're basically living as animals. In fact, we've mentioned before, some of you may remember, Baladev Vidyabhushan, in his commentary on Atata Brahma Jigyasa, that verse, invocation of Vedanta Sutra, he explains that verse, Atata Brahma Jigyasa, Atta Atta. Thereafter something else, Brahma Jigyasa, you can inquire into Brahman. So he raises the question, there are these two, Atta, Atta, Atato, thereafter. So after what two things can you inquire into Brahman? Will you be able to inquire into Brahman? So first thing he says is after just living blatantly like an animal, no religious activity, just trying to get what you can from the material world. And he says, this is animal life, simply animal life. So you have to go beyond that. So after that, then what's the next thing that you also have to go beyond is karmakandiya, using religion to get those same things which people who are simply outright materialistic, which they're getting just by working hard and somehow or other trying to just accumulate facilities from the material nature. So karmakandiya means that you are basically getting the same things, trying to get the same things, but through some process of religion. And Baladev Vidyabhushan, he says, yes, you have to go beyond that before you can really inquire into Brahman. And he says that level of karmakandiya, just getting the same things, material things for bodily existence, but through religion, he says, this type of person, the first type of person, is just an animal. This type of person, he says, is religious animal. Religious animal. Just getting the same things, but through religion. So you have to go beyond that. If you're to be able to inquire into Brahman in some meaningful terms, some real terms, and actually start making spiritual progress. So you cannot really separate the function of the Lord or the Lord being Yajnapati from him being Prajapati. You can't really separate them, and therefore Prabhupada, in the translation, he connects them up. That he is the master of, he is the leader of all living entities because he's the master of sacrifice. Well, yes, and then Srila Prabhupada continues. The living entities, the Lord is Dhyapati, the master of intelligence. All living beings are not equally endowed with the same quality of intelligence, because behind the development of intelligence is the Lord. And Prabhupada refers to Bhagavad Gita 15:15. Savasya chaham riddhi sanavishto mata smriti jnanam apanam cha. Krishna says, I, sarvasya cha aham, I'm situated in the hearts of all living entities, and from me are coming knowledge, remembrance, forgetfulness, smriti, remembrance, jnanam, knowledge, and apoenam, forgetfulness. This is all coming from the Lord. And of course, the Lord, well, you may have had experience. Sometimes you can just remember something, some verse, and later the same verse you may not remember. You have to look it up. Krishna's supplying the intelligence in different ways at different times to different people. And Prabhupada mentions here the same quality of intelligence. Not all intelligence is the same. Some people have certain type, certain quality of intelligence. Some other people have a different quality of intelligence. Like we've been told, at least. Anyway, we've been told that Albert Einstein, even though he had a very big brain and so clever in so many ways, but he was very bad with remembering personal details, like his address or how directions, how to get to a place. And sometimes if he would go to a walk, sometimes he would have to he'd have to keep his phone number in his, you know, piece of paper in his pocket, because he would get lost sometimes and he'd have to phone home to get someone to pick him up, because he had certain quality of intelligence. Yeah. And even Prabhupada, there was an incident in, it may have been Mother Malati, I think, was cooking for Srila Prabhupada during, either in Delhi or maybe Jaipur, during one of the big pandal programs Prabhupada held. And so she's cooking chapatis, and there was a monkey coming around, and then she'd chase away the monkey, but he'd come back looking for an opportunity. And then she turned and she was doing something else, and the monkey came in and grabbed a whole lot of chapatis. And that was it. Goodbye, chapatis. And Prabhupada saw it happen. And Prabhupada said, see, when it comes to eating, this monkey has more intelligence than you. Yes. So there are different types of intelligence. Military type of intelligence, artistic, literary, business. They're just different types of intelligence. Not all intelligences are equal, you know, in quantity or quality. And the Lord is the master of intelligence. Prabhupada explained that smriti, remembrance, for the devotees, Krishna supplies remembrance of him and jnanam and knowledge of him. And then Krishna supplies apoenam. Krishna supplies forgetfulness for the devotees of material life. At least, you know, when the devotee has been chanting nicely, and Krishna supplies that type of forgetfulness. Whereas for the materialists, Krishna gives them remembrance, how to function effectively in material life, knowledge about how to function in material life, and forgetfulness about himself, about Krishna. Krishna's giving. Even Prabhupada makes the point in a purport in the fourth canto that Krishna, in terms of giving intelligence, Krishna is so kind that some atheist philosopher is trying to figure out some arguments to prove, supposedly, that God doesn't exist. And Krishna is so kind, he may give him that intelligence. And so he thinks up some clever arguments. And then he thinks, yes, I have proved God doesn't exist by the grace of God. So yeah, the Lord supplying intelligence, knowledge, forgetfulness, all these different, they're different features. Remembrance and forgetfulness are features of intelligence, not just of the mind. At least one aspect of intelligence, people who are more intelligent, is they can remember more things. Therefore, they get higher marks in the exams, and they're just more capable at doing things. Because they can remember so many things in their particular field, and therefore they're considered very intelligent. Whereas someone who's not intelligent oftentimes it can be understood in terms of that they're just more prone to forget. And even when people get some, you know, like what? Dementia or some sort of a psychological condition of old age. A very prominent part of it, if you really sort of analyze it, is that they just keep forgetting. Yeah. They forget who they are. You may be their son or daughter, and they forget that you're the son or daughter. All these things. So the intelligence has become very weak, and therefore the capacity to remember has become very weak. So there's one class, you can look it up, it's in the folio on computer. There's one class by Srila Prabhupada on this verse 15:15 from Bhagavad Gita. And it's very brief, it's mainly just Prabhupada answering a question or some questions on the verse. But the one question, I think, first question that Prabhupada has asked, devotee asks Prabhupada that, you know, I'm trying to be a devotee, but sometimes some remembrance just comes to me of what I used to do, some material things from my past. And I'm not trying to remember it. It just appears in my consciousness. And so he's asking in terms of this 15:15. So what is happening? Why is Krishna doing that? Because I don't actually want to remember it. It just appears. And Prabhupada, basically, his answer is that it's Krishna showing you what you were saved from. Yeah, just see, Krishna was so kind. He saved me from that. Oh, and that's an impetus to progress in Krishna consciousness. Like a negative impetus. They're positive impetuses. Krishna is so nice. And there's negative impetuses that material life is really unpleasant. So unpleasant. And Srila Prabhupada, of course, says the misuse of intelligence by the conditioned souls in trying to just progress materially. This misuse of intelligence by the conditioned soul is called madness. Perhaps we didn't really think of it in those terms. It's a misuse. You know, you should use it better. But Prabhupada said it's actually madness, because the sort of fundamental feature of it is that you're trying to function intelligently to achieve material goals on the basis of false ego, on the basis of thinking, I am this body, that's who I am. But you're not this body. You're someone completely different. You know, you may be a brahmachari in Radharadhanath temple. Anyway, that's transcendental, but you may be male in terms of material body, but in actuality, in fact, you may be a gopi in Vrindavan. It's possible. You might be a cow or anything. The particular material body that we have right now has no relevance in terms of who we are in our eternal natural positions. So that is the basis of material existence. In order to be able to live a material life, you have to get a false sense of identity. If you're aware, I'm the eternal servant of Krishna, that's who I am, and you know anything else is nonsense, how could you live material life and really get into enjoying or trying to enjoy this material world? You couldn't. So therefore, when the living entity falls into this material world, one of the main features of the material condition that the living entity falls into is the condition of ignorance. First, you have to become ignorant of your relationship with Krishna. And in that ignorance, start thinking you are actually someone else and be convinced of that. Then you can try to enjoy material life. Otherwise, it's not really possible. So, of course, we know that when people think they're someone else, that's madness. Some particular feature or type of schizophrenia, split personality. And there's a sort of, in the Western world, there's a kind of classic example. When someone thinks they're Napoleon, yeah. And Napoleon had a way of standing with his hand like this in his jacket and looking around. Napoleon. So some people, they apparently actually do that. And they think they're Napoleon. And when I was young, there was for a little while, popular singer called, I think he was Napoleon the Fourth, or Napoleon, that's what he called himself. And his first song was, I am Napoleon. But he was, you know, I don't know if he was sort of technically mad, but he presented himself as a madman. Yeah, that's how he presented himself, as a madman. And then he had other songs, a few other songs before he just sort of faded out. And they were all about being mad and thinking you're someone else. Amazing. So, and we recognize, you know, if someone walked in here and said, damn, Napoleon, like seriously, then of course you'd know, it's okay. He's mad. It's not like, you know, really. You just know this person is mad. So, but material existence necessarily means it cannot really be material existence unless you are convinced that you really are someone who you definitely are not. Yeah. So this is madness. This is madness. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada, you may have heard, so there was some discussion about Who is crazy? And I think is there a lecture of Prabhupada's called Who is Crazy? Something like that. Some people think we're crazy. But the real question of who is crazy, and the answer is, they're all crazy. They're all mad. Dr. Ishwarapuri, when he was being trained to become a doctor, they had to go to a mental hospital and try and deal with the patients as part of the education. And he was interviewing one patient from the mental hospital who was, you know, it had some psychological condition. And they're talking, he's taking notes and questioning. And some other person from the hospital came sort of floating by. And the patient who Ishwarapuri was interviewing leant forward and said, "You see him? He's crazy." But little did he know that he was crazy too. So who's crazy? Well, the fact is, all the materialistic people are crazy. They have a spiritual type of schizophrenic condition of assuming some identity which is not their identity, but they think, this is it. This is me. And every lifetime it changes. And every lifetime they think, this is me. So, yes. So, therefore, Prabhupada says, one's full intelligence should be applied to get free from the material clutches. Okay, anyway. So the Lord is the pati and the gati of the devotees. We should use our intelligence for trying to serve the Lord. We should engage in sankirtan yajna. And in this way we'll make spiritual progress. Hare Krishna. Time is up. I didn't realize. Any one comment or question? Yes.
I was just thinking in terms of identification of the body, even myself practicing Krishna consciousness. The identification is still very strong to really understand the spirit soul and act in that platform.
Right.
Really difficult. How can actually one, I guess, speed up the process of being convinced?
Well, the thing is that there's not sort of like some special trick or button to press. It's just really a matter. See, at least those who are devotees, they have accepted intellectually with their intelligence that I'm not this body, I am the eternal servant of Krishna, and therefore they're living as devotees, even though due to habit and conditioning for so many lifetimes, there's not like such vivid realization. But the thing is, if we just carry on following the process, then gradually the realization comes more and more. And it becomes more and more principally and particularly and first in the sense that we become more attached to devotional service and devotional activities, and we appreciate them more. We enjoy them more. We're attracted to them more. We want them more. And we less want those other things. That shows that actually, you know, the deeper nature of the soul is actually starting to manifest more bit by bit. but it's a gradual process. And, you know, it's not really advised to do things like drastically deny the body as devotees. Drastically deny the body on the basis that, well, I'm not the body, so why should I just sort of pamper the body? No, I should neglect the body. So it's not really recommended that we really try to, you know, sleep very little, eat very little, and all these types of things. You know, and household life is there for those who, you know, still have like significant attachment to the opposite sex. So the real process is just to keep applying oneself in devotional service and chanting and serving, preaching like that. And gradually, you know, first and foremost, the sense of being a devotee and the attachment to being a devotee increases and increases. And not so much to expect that gradually we're going to get some realization like of how I'm not part of the body, and, you know, like separating from the body in that sense. It'll come, but the real manifestation of progress is greater attachment to Krishna and devotional service. Srila Prabhupada ki.